Good evening, Toronto. How are we feeling on this Monday evening? This is the penultimate show for music therapy, but we're here now, so we're gonna sit back and relax and enjoy.
All aboard!
This is your weekly music therapy session, Toronto. I'm Renice McLeod, coming to you live and unscripted from Centennial College's Creative Communications Campus. Today, live in the studio, I've got the Danger Bees. How are we doing, guys?
Hey.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to need each of you to identify yourselves just so that everyone in Radioland knows who's talking. Or we're going to try. So we'll start over on my left.
Hi, this is David McMichael. I sing and write the songs for the Danger Bees.
And the two lovely gentlemen on my right.
My name is Mike, and I play bass in the Danger Bees.
And this is James. I'm for the Danger Bees.
And you're probably wondering what these guys sound like. So, we're going to start off the show with a Good Year. And we're back. This is your weekly music therapy session, Toronto. I'm hanging out with the Danger Bees, coming to you, to Toronto, from Nova Scotia. What we were just listening to was a Good Year. Now, you guys have a video coming out for that, do you not?
We do, yeah. We just, we shot it in, what was that, May?
It was May, in Windsor, Ontario.
In Windsor, yeah. And it was a lot of fun. Basically, the video is just a girl beating the crap out of me in slow motion and destroying this living room set that we had. So you know, it's fun. Like it's sort of lighthearted.
Getting beat up and destroying a living room set?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like the just goes with the song. It's sort of lighthearted, but it's a little comical. And so you know, it was a lot of fun. Anyway, I think we just got the final cut of that, and it should be coming very soon to YouTube near you.
A YouTube near you. Awesome. So, Torontoland, that means get on it. We'll try to keep you posted as much as possible. Really? Beaten up by a girl and destroying a living room set?
Yep.
How was that?
And, well, the tricky part was that I had to keep a straight face the whole time, and she's just throwing everything at me. At one point, she smashes a plate in front of my... right in front of my feet, and a shard of it came up and hit me in the face, and I was just like, just had to remain, because we could only do it in one take, right? Because we were destroying all this stuff, smashing guitars and plates and everything. So if we didn't get it on the first take, we were just going home, you know? So that was the tricky part, but it was kind of a surreal experience. It's the first proper video that we've ever had, despite being a band now for like 4 years.
What about the improper videos?
Well, we've got one official improper video for Paper Thin. That was 2008, and that was just something that I shot with my girlfriend at the time in my parents' living room. Well, my parents' house.
You guys
house.
Have an affinity for living rooms, don't you?
Yeah, it's. It's what you can afford when you have $0, which is what we shot that video with. we try to keep up with a weekly blog that we do, and sometimes that's kind of a live video. Sometimes it's just us joking around. We've actually got a pro skate video coming out very, very soon. Tomorrow.
I saw that on your MySpace, something alluding to pro skate. Who's the skater in here?
No one.
Yeah, that would be none of us.
Hence the joke. So, well, tell me a bit about this.
Well, actually, we were just... there's this, like, alley outside of our house, and we were waiting for the guys to show up for a jam. And Ed, our guitarist, had just gotten a new skateboard. And, you know, like, a lot of the guys in the house skate. So we had all these extra skateboards lying around. And... we started, you know, just fooling around. Like, Mike just started skating not that long ago, and I skated when I was a little kid, and...
I can do an ollie.
James can do an ollie. But Ed got on the board, and we couldn't believe it, because we haven't known... Like, I mean, we've been friends for over 10 years. Like, we went to high school together, and, you know, we've grown up together. And Ed is kind of the newcomer, so I guess there's... a lot of stuff that we don't know about him, even although he's been in the band for about a year now. And he jumped on the board and just, like, right away, like, you know, he was ollieing over stuff and doing double kick flips and, like, you know, stuff I've never seen someone actually do on a skateboard before. So I took out my camera and we just filmed a good 25 minutes maybe. And see, we shouldn't tell this story until the end before we play the track from the video. Well, whatever. Anyway, so we thought it was a good laugh. We edited it together. It's mostly just, you know, us screwing up at skateboarding. But for whatever reason, these guys decided that Rod Stewart's Young Turks would be the track for this skate video. And sure enough, when we edited the footage, it was perfect. Like, it was magic. But I guess YouTube has some anti-copyright kind of software going on these days.
Uh-oh.
And before it even uploaded, we got an email saying your audio has been disabled. Warner Music Group hasn't authorized you to use Young Turks. So,
which was totally untrue.
Yeah. Oh, for real. For real. But we didn't take it lying down. James and Mike spent, I have no idea how long, but I'm sure it was very painstaking, recreating Young Turks note for note. And then they sent it our way, so me and Ed sang the backups. So the video is going to resurface with our cover of Young Turks. And, you know, that's going to be fun.
And we'll be hearing a bit of Young Turks later on in the show. But right now I think it's time for another little quick music break. I have Metal Guy coming up for you guys, followed by Cut Your Hair.
Thank you.
This is Centennial College's Creative Communications Campus. You're listening to Music Therapy. I'm Renice McLeod, hanging out with the Danger Bees. Now, we had a little bit of a technical mess up here. Instead of playing Cut Your Hair, we played From the Back of the Film. But both of these bands that we played were quite influential on you guys.
Yeah, they're both from Halifax, kind of around the same era. And yeah, we listened to both those bands a lot and saw them live a lot when we were growing up.
Yeah. Did you play with them?
We played with the Sycamores, but Thresh Hermit were way better than we will probably ever be. But
they were a huge
at the time.
They were a huge band by the time we were 16. Of course, that's Joel Plaskett heading them there before he left to have his solo project. I don't know how well known Joel Plaskett is here. Probably reasonably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So that was his band that he started when he was in high school or whatever, and then they rode their train to the end of the line where he said, "Okay, I'm just gonna go and be Joel Plaskett now." Yeah, I think the closest we ever got to playing with Joel Plaskett was one time we played a show with some of his buddies, Mike O'Neill and Charles Austin, and they were starting a new band, so he was in the audience when we played, which was also really cool, but, you know, definitely never got the honors of playing with him. The Sycamores, though, were completely underappreciated. I mean, to me, that's, you know, they were a world-class band. And just so underrated that, you know, it was unreal. I bet you could send their full-length record into Pitchfork tomorrow, and it would probably get, like, 9 stars or whatever they call it. You know, like, it was seriously an untouchable album. But Corey Walling, the singer-songwriter behind that group, just never put in any effort, never showed any kind of, you know, inspiration for the music industry, and grew into a bitter old 33-year-old man.
Yes, because these days 33 is so old. No,
33
it's not.
Is the new 65.
30 is the new 20, 40 is the new 30, and the 20s, I guess, is like an extended teenage years. But let's talk about your teenage years, when you guys kind of started percolating and started getting
awkward.
Ready to go.
Awkward. That's the best word to describe our teenage years.
Well, everyone's teenage years were a bit awkward.
Yeah, but our teenage years extended to current moment.
Yeah.
Oh, that was even awkward. Ouch.
Well,
all right.
Like so, we said, the 20s, extension of the teenage years.
Mike,
you're okay.
Mike and James are going to talk for a little bit now.
Well, when I was a teenager, I always played in a band, which is not at all different from now.
Okay, let's talk about the band's teenage years, when you guys started getting ready, getting together, and working in Nova Scotia.
We started out, me and Dave started out playing in a surf band together, which was pretty awesome. And then we decided that, I don't know why we decided to not be a surf band anymore, but somehow Dave was forced to start singing, and that's kind of what melded into the current band, I guess.
It took a lot of years and members and basically, I mean, well, the surf band he's referring to then became a rock band, and I mean, we were together forever and ever and ever. And I never wrote songs for that group. I would write words, but I would have like melodies and the chords and the feel and everything of the songs were written by the guitar player. And I was always a little too like shy and I don't know, nervous about putting myself out there to use my own material.
So you were kind of trial by fire and forced yourself to start the songwriting?
Well, what happened was I was with the girl who I was sure was the love of my life, quite
Uh-oh.
Literally. And, you know, I just remember thinking, you know, this is it. This is for sure it. Like, I'm marrying this girl, like, you know, no question. But things don't always work out like you wish that they would. So when things went sour, I started writing songs, and I had dabbled in songwriting since I was like 14 or 15, but I never took it in a way that, you know, I'd be serious about it or that I'd like to start a band. Again, just like kind of always the thought that everybody else is doing it better than me. Like, I don't want to have to put this out there. You know, I'm just going to embarrass myself. But at this point, it really felt like the only therapy that...
Music therapy, guys. It's full circle.
It's absolutely. It felt like the only thing that I could do to make the situation right was write 6 or 7 songs, have these two guys, these were actually the 3 original Danger Bees, even although there's 5 of us now, we're the 3 original. So I asked these two guys, because best drummer I know and best bassist I know and also best friends I know.
That was cute, Dave. Thanks.
Yeah, guys, anytime. We'll hug after this. So I asked them if they wanted to come and help me with these 6 or 7 songs about this awful breakup, play a one-off show. I specified this. We're going to do this show one time.
And how did that work out for you?
Worst show ever. I actually wrote a song on our full-length record about it because it was so bad. We got so nervous that myself in particular, these guys also to an extent, probably drank about like 20 beer each before we got on stage.
Bear in mind, guys, these are a bunch of East Coasters, so that's quite a bit.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. But we drank a lot and we could not play. We didn't know what was going on. Like, it was just awful. And we took our shirts off. You know that's a bad show. But there was someone in the crowd, actually, shout outs to Amy Schroeder. There was someone in the crowd who was yelling at us to take our shirts off, and we were just like, whatever, it's not getting any worse than this. And it was honestly the most terrible show. And the record had a lot of potential. Like, we did think the songs were good, but we had to do them in a few days after a few practices, like, literally. So I think Mike's exact words were, instead of just calling this a one-off show, a one-off record, a one-off time band, let's maybe stick to it, because it seems like there is really some true potential here, and, you know, let's see where it goes. And so here we are 4 years later.
With our shirts on.
With our shirts on, never to be taken off again.
Well, we'll give the audience a chance to get another little feel for your own stuff. This is Why Won't You Listen by The Danger Bees.
You've got such a good ear, and why won't you listen? I'll bet dollars to do nights I already know. And if you want me, I'll be hiding in the place that hates me most, divulging secrets to some evil I can't see on the other end of the line. I must love the disapproving look on your face after everything I say. Thank you.
And we're back. This is your weekly music therapy session. I'm hanging out here with the Danger Bees. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Sweet.
So, what we were just listening to was Why Won't You Listen?
If I may just say, we just signed a awesome new record label, and the very first thing they did for us was get that song placed on this season of Degrassi High. So
that's awesome. How did I not come across that?
Because the only people who know about that are people who are my friends on Facebook.
I see.
Yeah, we play our cards close to our chest.
Well, not anymore now that it's out in Radio Land. And I'm just going to fan the flames here. You got to follow these guys. They're on Twitter and on Facebook. So if you want band updates like, oh yeah, our song is being played on Degrassi, I think you might want to check them out.
If I could, facebook.com/thedangerbees, twitter.com/thedangerbees, youtube.com/thedangerbees, thedangerbees@gmail.com, and myspace.com/thedangerbees, reverbnation.com/thedangerbees. I just want to point out, this is interesting, because the Danger Bees was actually a name that we very haphazardly just kind of like, what do you think of this? Oh yeah, that's a good name. All right, you know. Very haphazard. It had no reason or rhyme to it why we chose it. But down in the States where they have like killer bees or whatever, there's signs up that say Danger Bees. So
okay.
So state word, that's become a progressive group in Los Angeles named Danger Bees, and a purse designing company, I don't know what you call that, someone who makes purses, and they go under Danger Bees, and
that's actually a side project of mine.
Oh, okay. All right. The truth comes out. And also a professional wrestling tag team name.
That's actually my professional wrestling tag team.
Oh, it makes so much sense now.
It is all coming clear.
Anyway, so Danger Bees is all that other stuff. The Danger Bees is us.
So if you want to look these guys up, and P.S. you should, it's the Danger Bees. Otherwise, you'll be getting purse designers and wrestling teams that may or may not be band members. So anything you want to check out, that was Facebook, The Danger Bees, Twitter, The Danger Bees, thedangerbees@gmail.com, thedangerbees@reverbnation, and so forth.
Also, thedangerbees.com.
Oh, yeah.
Dave's phone number is also not going to happen.
Oh.
But my so my phone number is bees.
Now, was that intentional?
Yes, I asked them. I asked them for bees. Yeah, I wanted. I don't remember what it would be like. Three bees, so it would be D bees. But they didn't have that, so I just took bees.
Aw.
Yeah.
Still clever.
Well, in the you know, modern iPhone age, you know, if you tell someone what your phone spells, it's like, I don't know, there's no you know, letters on my digits.
Oh, you kids and your technology with your iPhones and your Blackberries. I just have a regular cell phone. So where we last left off, we were talking about your terrible show, in your words, in Nova Scotia. So how did you get from there to here?
Well, basically, after the worst show ever, we felt like we had something to prove, and we took a year off. So we say we're 4 years old as a band or whatever, but we're really not, I guess, because after the first 2 months of work that we put in, we took a year, maybe a year and a half off, where we didn't play any shows, we didn't do anything, but I was still writing songs, and we finally got together late 2007 and started jamming again, and right away I said, like, it was like my parents were gone and we used to jam in my parents' basement, and my parents were like in Scotland or something, and we got like stupid East Coast drunk, and
just pretty substantial. I've been on the East Coast.
Yeah. And we went down to the basement and cleared away all the stuff that had collected there over all the time that we had been gone and just started jamming. And right at that moment, everything felt so right and so good to me. I told the guys, like, we have to make a record. So a couple months later, we had worked on all these new songs and we started recording what would eventually become 2008's Fight Fire with Failure. And we recorded it in my bedroom, which was also formerly a professional studio. So we had a pretty nice space to work with, and just like, you know, my iMac or whatever, and probably between the three of us, this much
knowledge.
He's
holding his fingers apart about 2.5 inches, just to illustrate, guys.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
You know, I think it took us about one or two months of steady tracking, and then we got Michael Jackson, who is notoriously Trevor from the Trailer Park Boys, although he hates
it. Can you run that by me one more time?
Michael Jackson, he played Trevor on the Trailer Park Boys.
Okay.
But he hates it when people say that, so if you're listening, Mike, I'm sorry. Anyway, he mastered it for us, you know, so we had help from other people, and we had our friends in all the time, like, if we were drinking there or whatever, we'd just play them the mixes, and they'd say, well, you know, what about drop the organ out here, or put more piano in here, or whatever. So really, the whole record was kind of the result of bouncing it off of all of our friends, and we were in a very musical community with our friend circle in Nova Scotia. So everyone we know and like had their mark in that record.
What about the people you don't like?
Oh, man. They wrote the songs for me.
I'm teasing. But it sounds like that was an awesome collaboration. How was that experience for you guys over on my right?
Oh, it was great. We just go in with really no real direction, but just work on the album, you know? Just show up, do it.
Eat Harvey's.
It was really good for me because it was really close to my house. So it was really convenient.
Nice. So how does that kind of... I'm actually really impressed with the DIY effort that you guys put in. Tips for bands. Talk to these guys. How does that relate now to your recording styles and your processes?
All right, well, if I can just be totally candid for a second here.
Please.
That was us totally having fun and screwing everything up. I mean, like, if you listen to that record, it's like the guitar solos don't make sense sometimes. The drum fills don't make sense sometimes. Like, we recorded some songs without a metronome. You know, it's fast and it's loose with everything. Like, you know... We would just think, that sounds weird. Yeah, keep it in. You know, like, whatever. We had a lot of fun with it.
It was definitely made with the impression that nobody would ever listen to it.
Absolutely.
Which is probably what has actually happened in actuality.
Check out our last FM, dude. People love us out there.
All right, well.
Those 30 people who listen to us every day.
Anyway, it was definitely done with the attitude that no one would ever hear it. So it was a lot of fun, but probably not the best... philosophy for a band to have when making an album.
It's true. But nowadays, it's like those two songs that we spun earlier, they were done in a professional studio where you know, it was really expensive. We had a producer there with the whip to our backs, and he had already, in pre-production, he had sort of told us exactly what we were going to play, and we were just there to play it perfectly. And then, you know, he would go in and micro edit every little note to make sure that everything was right on the beat, and they would sample out, like, they would take out some drums and put in a fake drum sound where needed, or you know, there's just all this like studio trickery and everything. And I'm not saying that one is better or worse, but the one I just described is definitely worse.
The one with the producer. So how would you change that then and make it work for you, how would you get the best of both worlds? And well, are you intending to go for that later on?
This is exactly our plan, I think. We want to do both of those things. So I have I'm sitting on about 10 songs that are a little sillier, a little weirder, like, you know, we had mentioned Pavement earlier, and sometimes people do say to us, you know, you remind me, and I think that's because we do have that kind of fast and loose, you know, whatever. It doesn't have to be exactly on the metronome. It doesn't have to be exactly in tune, you know. And the words, the lyrics for some of our stuff border on a little strange sometimes. So I've got some of these more stranger, fringier kind of tunes that wouldn't do well in a you know, pop environment. And what I'm hoping we're going to do is make a 10-song record in our basement. Well, Ed and I's basement. These guys live down in Leslieville, so we're all roughly in the same neighborhood. And I'd like to do that, but meanwhile, we've signed a contract with our new record label where we're just going to keep on doing the singles, and then at the end of that, release like an EP or a full length of all of these singles that are you know, shiny and poppy and proper. So there's those two kinds of, I guess, and I don't want to let either of them go.
That's really interesting, and I know I will be really interested in seeing how you blend the two. I think that would be fantastic.
Well, ideally, you know, if we could get the best of both worlds, then that would be fantastic. But of course, you can't totally hide one side from the other. It's not like the weird stuff that I'm talking about doesn't have a strong pop presence, and it's not like even our poppiest stuff. I mean, it's still kind of, you know, it's still us, so there's still elements of it that are a little offbeat in a way, you know, like I'm not a karaoke legend or anything, like I don't have a pretty voice, but I think it's more just about our character, and what I hope for us really is that our character can happen in the shiny poppy stuff the same way that we can get it across in the sloppier, more write a song in the next 5 seconds kind of way that we do, you know?
Definitely. So Radioland, that's your cue to, once again, add these guys on Facebook and Twitter and keep tabs on that, because it sounds like there are some really exciting things coming. Right now, I think it's time to spin another song or two. What do you guys think?
Sounds good.
Sure.
All right. So what we have coming up next is End of Hollywood Bedtime Story.
It's so very sad that I prefer to sleep in a Hollywood bed. And it's so very sad that I prefer a love so miserably loved. Well, what did you want? Rather this in a
Mike. This is your weekly music therapy session coming to you live and unscripted from Centennial College's Creative Communications Campus. We're hanging out tonight with the Danger Bees. That's the Danger Bees, if you want to look them up, and you should. How are we feeling, gentlemen?
Great.
Fantastic.
Great.
So we've been through the teenage years, your teenage years, the band's teenage years, and your progression to Toronto. So what do we have coming up next, guys?
Well, on Wednesday, that's June 22nd, 2 days from now, we are making our triumphant return to Say What, which is
what?
Front and Church. Is that right? Front and Church, right?
Yeah.
It's relatively in that area, yeah.
Actually, when we first moved to Toronto about a year and a half ago, we played there, and Adam Fox, who's a fantastic guy, he's sort of the head sound guy there, he came up to us, he said, I'd love to have you guys as the house band, you should play here every month. So we did for a little while, and then we just got sick of looking at each other, so we stopped playing there. But
sorry,
anyway,
just to double check, you got sick of looking at the venue?
I'm just joking. We played there for I don't know, every month for like 6 months or something. So a little residency there, and then this is our first time coming back. So that's going to be cool because it's a great room. For anyone who's never been there, they've got like something ridiculous, like 30 beers on tap, and the sound there can't be touched. They've hosted Jeff Buckley, Ron Sexsmith, like all kinds of, you know, amazing people. And it's just a great room, great vibe. So we're going to be there with our good friends, Mary Stewart and Jenny McDonald, who are both from Nova Scotia and PEI, respectively. What else?
Get a super secret house show on Saturday.
Oh, really?
But I can't really invite anyone to that, so.
If you know us, get in touch. But otherwise, I'm sorry.
And that's my cue to throw their Facebook again.
Don't write them off. I mean, maybe.
Well,
like,
yeah, get in touch with us.
If you meet us between now and then, like, totally. Things could happen.
I think this is all code for go to the show in a couple days, hang out, and say hi, and you might get invited to some secret show.
Bam.
If they like you enough.
Also, we have a show coming up on the 20th. Dave, do you remember?
Oh, what show is this?
August? Horseshoe Show.
When is August 22nd. August 22nd, right. I forgot all about that one.
Oh, okay.
Just to clarify, they've got another show coming up at the Horseshoe August 22nd.
That one's going to be awesome. That's actually a cancer benefit. Not to benefit cancer, because that would be ridiculous. But to benefit the aid and treatment of cancer.
So it is also a charity show.
Anyway, tons of cool stuff happening to that. Crush Luther is playing. Amos the Transparent is playing. They're making a lot of waves in Toronto. Really, really cool bands. Really, really good cause. And that's just going to be an awesome show. So August 22nd at the Horseshoe. Also, nothing set in stone, but we might be having a show very soon at the Danforth Bar and Grill, which is a brand new venue opened by one of our very good friends, around Woodbine Station, and he's looking to book acts. So if you're out there listening and you're in a band that you think is pretty good, or maybe you guys think you suck, but like, whatever.
Well, it can't be worse than butchering your own songs and taking off your shirt, right?
I don't know what we promised. You said we weren't going to talk about that on air.
I made no promises.
But yeah, so check that out, the Danny. They've got a wicked performance room there, and you know, there's not too much of that stuff going on in the East End right now. So I just want to shout out to Ken and the Danny. It's
yeah,
a good time.
Woodbine and Danforth.
Yeah.
I don't think that was mentioned.
Oh, you know, it's called the Danny. Like, where else would it be?
Well, it sounds like you guys have a lot of exciting stuff coming up. We've got the music videos that are coming up. We've got
music
the shows
videos,
coming up.
Skate video.
The skate
the shows,
video. The shows.
Degrassi High.
Yes.
And we've got some other stuff in our back pocket, but our label says we're not allowed to talk about it, which really sucks.
Ooh, that's exciting, though. Mum's the word. So, guys, keep your ear to the ground.
Oh, I also want to say, speaking of Mum, if my mom is listening, I want to say hi. Hi, Joan. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Joan.
I'd also like to say hi to my mother, Joan, as well. Hi, Joan.
I'll say hi, but my mom's name is not Joan. It is Suzanne. Hi, Suzanne.
Oh, I actually was hoping that we'd have to play Suzanne on the show time, which sucks. Because Suzanne is Weezer's greatest song.
Unfortunately, guys, we're actually just about at the end of the time, but we do have time for one more song. This is one more hit of the Danger Bees for you. Check them out 2 days from now for their show. Keep your ear to the ground. They've got some exciting things coming up. That's The Danger Bees on Facebook and Twitter. And playing us out tonight is their song Young Turks.
By Rod Stewart.
By Rod Stewart.
Yeah,
it's
this
a
is soundtrack to our awesome skate video.
Somehow, some way, it's gotta get better than this. Batty back to bags, left a note for her mama. She was just 17. There were tears in her eyes when she kissed her little sister goodbye. They held each other tight as they drove on through the night. They were so excited. We got one life, let's take it well. We're still not afraid. And time is a thief when you're undecided. Like a fistful of sand, it can rip the